mouth. She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever.
Brewers are the hottest team in baseball. One of the best teams in baseball. 2 days away, two games away from potentially getting everybody free hamburgers from George Webb's. Just two games away. Two games away, Chew.
I wouldn't have done that.
You wouldn't have done what?
Mention that.
Why not? People got to know.
All right, fair.
People got to know.
Who are they playing next?
They play the Mariners tonight.
Mariners good?
They're okay. They're solid, I would say. A team that is not leading their division, but they are in the hunt for a playoff berth. Do they have one of the? Oh, they do have one of the playoff, the wild cards in the American League.
Okay.
53-46 is their record. Brandon Woodruff pitches tonight for the Brewers, 8:40 over on WTMJ.
Okay.
Against George Kirby, who has an ERA of 4.5. And then if they win that one, then we got the Miz on the mound going for 12.
All right.
But the Brewers have been playing so well with this 10-game winning streak, and now they've chased down the Cubs. You know, they were 6.5 back at one point in the division that early in the season. 6.5 back. Chased down the Cubs. They now have the same record. 800-990-3776 is the number to get to the Carbless Talk and text line. Are you somebody who wants the Brewers to make a move or not make a move? Because we had somebody on the talk and text line, the Carbless talk and text line earlier, saying about, you're talking about team chemistry. Obviously, this team has chemistry. Do you want to interrupt that by adding somebody to it? I am in the, I think I've reached the stage of Eugenio Suarez or bust. Like, if the Diamondbacks are going to sell and Suarez becomes available, that's who I want. That's the guy that can make a big-time difference.
And what are you giving up?
That's the problem. There's probably going to be a bidding war. Now, you're not going to have to give up any of your top teams, rarely. Like, when the Brewers traded, and I know we talked about CeCe Sabathia a little while ago, on the anniversary of that big move, the Brewers gave up a lot of really good prospects, including their top prospect, when they got, you know, CeCe Sabathia. Teams are a lot more reluctant to trade away their top prospects or even like a top 50 guy for a rental. Now, maybe you would end up doing that. Maybe you would give that up to if you got, somebody and you've got control for a handful of years.
Mm-hmm.
But for a rental, you're not going to give up, you know, any of your top guys in the system.
Okay. And he would be a rental.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I can't imagine that they would sign him after that. He's a free agent at the end of the year. And
I mean, I'm good either way. The way they're playing right now, and mm-hmm. I know that, you know, Dodgers, all your big money teams are probably going to add.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm fine.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 35 home runs here at the break, or coming out of the break. Like, he is...
All right, maybe he would be nice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Like that is the type of player. Like if they add a Mark Canna, maybe if they add another first baseman,
yeah.
I think that could potentially platoon with Andrew Vaughn and get another left-handed bat because unfortunately Jake Bowers is on the IL as well, and they're not quite sure, you know, when he's going to come back as he deals with the shoulder injury. So I think there is maybe now an additional space for that with that injury of, you know, a first baseman that can kind of be a rotational guy,
mm-hmm.
Just because of injury. But if we're talking about an everyday player, I think the only one I really want is Suarez.
So you were saying during the break, the Cubs fans are running their mouths about the Brewers?
Oh, yeah, I saw one account just beside themselves. Not necessarily running their mouths, just beside themselves that the Brewers keep winning games. Because they're doing it unconventionally. Because they don't have a big bat. They don't have this lineup that's hitting, you know, home run after home run after home run.
So we got a little big city arrogance going? That's what it sounds like.
It's also, the Brewers have consistently zigged when everyone else zags.
Mm-hmm.
They, because of their, I'll be nice for now since I'm feeling good about them, lack of ability, some might call it lack of desire to spend money, they have to find ways to win in the margins and to make themselves a competitive team. So they've been pivoting. That's why they're so aggressive on the base paths. That's why base running to them and not making base running mistakes is like such a big thing they focus on. They don't make defensive mistakes. And all those things are a way to win where everybody else is focused on power, scoring runs, and
there,
big.
There was a huge thing in yesterday's game that went largely unnoticed. So in a tight game, in a tie game, I think Collins had a hit. And bases were loaded, Chu. Bases mm-hmm. were loaded. Yep. Base hits, and Jackson Chourio's on second base. He sprints all the way from second to home. The throw didn't come home. Throw it to third base. Andrew Vaughn got cut down at third base for the final out of the inning. But because Jackson sprinted and got to home before that, the run counted. And if you're not paying attention to the little details, I mean, how many times are you watching a Major League Baseball game? A guy knows he's going to score, you know, starts jogging in halfway.
Yeah. Yes.
If he doesn't sprint, then that game, the Brewers don't win 6-5. Winning streak might be over.
Yeah.
Who knows? So it's you know, again, those little details that they pay attention to that largely go unnoticed by a lot of different fans.
And it's, I'm picking on the Yankees here because they're so talked about, but watch them play a game on defense.
Lazy.
And then compare it to what you see the Brewers doing.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got guys throwing cutoffs to no one. There's just no one there. And sure, you can get away with it once or twice. You know, it won't always cost you, but you're giving up runs and you're giving the team an advantage. The Brewers just don't do that. They just don't make boneheaded mistakes. They're sure-handed on defense. They found guys who they believe are plus at what they do, and then they steal every single run you could imagine. Well, they take it.
That goes back to development. Because when I played, you know, there's runs and there's guys and there's receivers that, I mean, we all laugh at it. But it's important when receivers block. And when we would lose a game, Holmgren would show six plays, like clean as day, running back gets through the line, receiver's lazy, safety comes up, makes a tackle. If that receiver goes 100%, it's a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
The difference in a game. That's the difference
and that's
right
a
there.
Little detail.
That's a little detail. Holmgren would always say, and I take it with me, and I try to tell my oldest, who's a coach, I said, and Holmgren would always say, once you start letting the little stuff go, then you start letting the bigger stuff go.
One of the best coaches I ever had, it's the little things. I still hear it in my head. It's the little things, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of the same thing. Like, little things, take care of the little things, big things will take care of themselves.
Yeah.
Pay attention to those little minor details, and everything else starts taking care of itself. Michael on the talk and text line, 800-990-3776. No moves. This is a complete team. Ian says, how would you feel if the Cubs land Suarez and we don't make a move? Gotta add a big bat. Again, the problem is, I don't know how many big bats exist. I do feel if there's a bidding war for Suarez, I have to trust the Brewers front office. I have to.
Mm-hmm.
Like if he goes someplace else and they lose out in the bidding war, it's because the price just got too steep. But I feel confident that the Brewers, if they wanted to, could outbid anybody for Suarez.
Yes. Yes.
Because of the embarrassment of riches that they have in the minor league system.
I agree completely. I think as constituted now, if things fall correctly, the Brewers are good enough to win a World Series. But what I don't want to happen is be in a spot where one extra bat puts you over the top, be it a big pinch hit, be it a guy who has an incredible game that, you know, single-handedly elevates the team. Like, you there's no such thing as being too good.
No.
Nope. You can't have too many good players. Sure, they might not all be getting the amount of at-bats they want or, like, be out in the field as much as they may want to in some spots. But having the, like, who knows what happens during the playoff? What if somebody has a nagging injury?
Yeah. Well, and look, I understand that Suarez would also mean you have to have a tough conversation with Caleb Durbin.
Sure.
But I also think you can find enough at-bats for Durbin
yes.
to make him happy. You just go, hey, Caleb, look. You're a big part of our future. We love what 100%. You've done this year. This guy's got 35 home runs.
Most guys,
like, I think it's pretty easy. Of this guy's got 35 home runs. It's the one thing we're missing in our lineup. Like, you're still going to play a huge role as a pinch runner, as a defensive replacement late. You know, playing a couple of different positions, getting at bats. So, maybe it's a conversation with Christian a little bit as well. of, hey, we might need you to play because we've had some injuries in the outfield. Might need you to play outfield a little bit more, and then you can split up at-bats with the DH.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a tough conversation with a couple different people, but I think it's worth having. I am Suarez or bust because I'm with Josh. I think the team's good enough. I don't want to really mess that with that chemistry. But this lineup with 35 more home runs in it.
Yeah.
Suddenly looks very enticing. I had a great time this weekend. I was off last Thursday and Friday. It was the Wisconsin Cup. Our member guest out at the Wisconsin Country Club had an unbelievable time. Golf course was singing. The food was fantastic. The camaraderie with all the guys participating was phenomenal. And you can join the Wisconsin Country Club and play in some of the great events as well. That's why I joined. I love the golf. I love our golf course. I love our practice facility. But maybe you're looking for something more complete from your country club experience. You know, like an incredible pool, tennis, pickleball. Have that all for the family and everything else. Plus, no assessments, no food and beverage minimums. Just the great experience that I was just telling you about. Get started today. TheWisconsinCountryClub.com. It's just a fair way away.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
A freaking catapult attached to his right hip. Like... I just made that up, a catapult.
That was good.
I kind of liked it. I was rolling with it, Rob.
Like a slingshot?
I'm calling old catapult leg from here on out.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We head out to the Carblish Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776. How do you feel about the Brewers? Do you want them to make a move at the deadline? 10 days away, we go to Howard in Sherman Park. Howard, you're on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I vote, unless you can get Suarez for virtually nothing, which will be impossible, I vote no, because let's look at this around the deadline. You added Woodruff. You added Vaughn. You added Perkins. You added Mazeroski. I'm forgetting what I wanted to add here. And you paid nothing for them. You're going to get Hoskins back. He may hit a homer or two. You're going to get Gassert back in September, maybe. You've got guys who set records in their first three starts that can't even get back up to the major leagues. And we look at teams like Washington, Kansas City, the Angels, and the White Sox. They won championships, and they played stinky baseball for at least 8 years. Now, we forget what stinky baseball looks like, because we have to go back to 2002, 2003. It's awful. And I think we'd have to, you know, you'd have to give up too much, and you've got something that's working, and you got all these new guys already for nothing. So if somebody said to you, how would you like to get these five guys and pay nothing for them? Would you take that deal?
Pretty good deal.
Yeah, but additionally, my biggest issue is with this team is lack of power, lack of pop in the lineup. And that's where I become Suarez or bust. Because Howard makes a lot of really good points about the guys that they've been able to call up, about guys that are still down there. He didn't even mention Nestor Cortes, who is closer than Robert Gasser to returning. Like the pitching, it's an embarrassment of riches. The pitching is great. But as we saw in the beginning part of the season, injuries can creep up, and it's good to have that depth. Josh, you said it before. There's no such thing as being too good. But I don't think you're going to have to give up. And I've got the list of, you know, top 25 Brewers prospects from MLB.com in front of me. Like, you're not giving up Jesus Mate, who's their top prospect. Obviously, you're not giving up Miz. I don't think you have to give up Luis Pena, Cooper Pratt, Jefferson Quiro. Logan Henderson. Like, I don't think you're going to have to give up any of your top six. All right? But maybe, you know, some guys after that, potentially. Maybe Robert Gasser. And to me, that becomes worth it, of using some of that depth you have in your organization if you can get a bat like Eugenio Suarez.
I'm with Sherman. You do it. If it's a good deal, go ahead and do it. Sherman. Oh, Sherman Park.
He's in Sherman Park.
I'm sorry. And we love Howard. Howard's the best.
The best.
I did say, hey, in the break, I'm like, oh, we should go to Howard. And then Chewy's like, oh, Howard from Sherman Park? Like,
yeah.
We love Howard here at ESPN Milwaukee.
So I lost all that street cred.
But Howard listens enough. I think he's going, he knows who you are, and he's going to give you a pass.
But I'm with him. If he can do it, do it. You know, don't break the bank. But if not, I feel great about this team. Feel great.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if they don't do it, it's not end of the world. See,
correct.
Ananasio never spends money, doesn't do anything, blah, blah, blah.
To me, this would be a front office decision that if, and again, it's still an if Suarez becomes available, because the Diamondbacks in the next 10 days, if they play the way they have coming out of the break, they're not going to sell off. They're going to continue to try to make a push.
Yeah.
So it's a big if he even becomes available.
The only thing I can see myself getting disappointed about, with as critical as I've been of ownership of the Brewers, is if these guys become available and it becomes a deal where you're like, well, that would have made a lot of sense for the mm-hmm. price they ended up mm-hmm. paying. If it's an astronomical amount, if like, because
that's where I trust the front office.
Right. You still need to make the best decisions for the team, and I understand this is a unique position. You want to push them over the top, but you also have to feel the team in 2026 and 27. So you can't sell everything away. But if Suarez is it, and it's an absolute bidding war, and some team ends up giving away their best two prospects,
I'm probably
good on it.
Then
because he's Eugenio Suarez. He's not Shohei Ohtani.
Correct.
Like,
yeah, no,
well,
he's,
there is
he would
Shohei
be great for this Shohei. Lineup. Yeah, but I'm not giving away, as I mentioned, those top guys.
But this isn't a Goody thing. This isn't a Goody. Well, we called and they didn't want to. You know, they're serious. And I trust them. They're serious.
Mm-hmm. And because the one thing I am confident in, they're going to add to this team. It's what they've done. You mm-hmm. know, whether it was somebody like Aaron Civale last year, Carlos Santana a couple of years ago, Domingo Santana, a former Brewer, or even, you know, Mark Canna. Like, those were periphery moves that they made to try to bolster the team. I'm guessing they're going to do something similar, because that's typically what this team has done when in contention. Again, they're not moves that got them over the top, but they're moves that they thought made the team better. And that's why I trust the Brewers front office with whatever they do. Again, to me, it's 35 home runs would look really good in this lineup, and all of a sudden, a lot of different things. And he's better defensively than people give him credit for, so I think he fits in there. It's just a matter of what's the asking price going to be. And if it gets too high, I trust that the Brewers will do what's best for them. Mm-hmm. Are the Packers contenders or pretenders? I think I know what the answer is here. I'm going to share a story about that. Coming up next, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You can answer the question.
What's the question?
Can the Packers win without Aaron Jones on Sunday?
Yes. Will you stop? You know what he is?
He's jumping.
He's like the little devil on the shoulder.
On 94.5 ESPN.
One more thing on Brewers at the trade deadline. Do want to get this from Teddy in Watertown on the Carblues Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776. Before making a move, remember Jonathan Scope. Do you remember Jonathan Scope, Chewy?
No.
Was not one of the Brewers' better moves that they made at the trade deadline back in 2018. They thought he would be a good bat to add at the trade deadline.
Was that the first baseman from Toronto?
No, he was a second baseman from Baltimore.
Okay, don't remember.
But I guess when I think of that team, I think of Mike Moustakas. Because that's somebody they traded for.
And he was good.
And he was good. So yeah, not every move works out.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Brewers still made the playoffs the year they traded for Jonathan Scope. But I was on Game Day on ESPN Radio yesterday, hosting with Jonathan Zaslow. And ESPN Radio has a list series that they do. You know, we've done top five receiver duos, coaches on the hot seat, things of that nature. So yesterday we did top five pretenders. And to me, the tricky part about doing a top five pretender list is, I mean, you're not doing, you know, the teams at the bottom. You know, you're not going to have the Tennessee Titans, the New York Jets. Like, everybody knows those teams are bad. Like, it's pretenders. It's teams that are on top. And, you know, that everybody else thinks they're going to be good, but aren't actually contending for a championship.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Pittsburgh.
He had Pittsburgh on his list.
Okay. Miami.
He did have Miami.
Minnesota?
He did not have Minnesota.
Okay. All right. I just
But his number one team was the Green Bay Packers.
That's dumb. That's stupid. Bad, bad, bad. And you know me.
Yeah.
If I thought he was right, I would say he's right, but he's wrong. If you have ping
You think
pong,
they're a contender?
Yeah, if you have ping pong balls in the thing at the end of the day to win the Super Bowl, you're not a pretender. And they do.
Well, so the Steelers.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Rodgers.
Yeah.
No.
He's better than anything they've had. They've
who's
made the
their second
the
receiver? Second receiver is
Austin.
Calvin Austin.
Yeah. They don't have enough weapons offensively to do it. Their defense will be solid, but at the end of the day, no.
Their number one's better than the Packers' number one. They've got a pass rush.
But I'll take Josh Jacobs. I'll take the plethora. I'll take Green Bay's tight end. I'll take Green Bay's quarterback. Come on. They're pretenders.
They're
a one and done.
I think Pittsburgh's ceiling right now is...
It's not the Super Bowl.
...is winning a playoff game.
Yeah.
I think that's... And that's why they belong on that list.
But what...
Green Bay still has had... I mean, look, is the ceiling the Super Bowl for this team? I don't know if it is yet. I know we're really excited about this team, and I know that we're excited about the young players that they have. Who stepped up last year when they needed to amongst the young players, Chu? Who did it?
Yeah, I know. But it's a new year, and someone's got to rise to the top. Not just.
But we said the same thing last year, and nobody did.
Yeah.
Other than Edgerrin Cooper.
Which means that doesn't mean that it's not going to happen this year.
Sure.
You know?
But it makes me more skeptical.
Yes, they don't have 20 balls in the little lottery ping pong thing. Yeah. They have five. But as long as you have one, I don't think you are a pretender.
Do you feel better or worse about the quarterback position going into this year compared to last year?
I feel better because I think he's going to play better. And if he doesn't, then if he doesn't play well this year, I will say I don't think he'll ever be anything more than good.
Running back, you probably feel the same.
Same.
Wide receiver?
Tight end, I feel better. Receiver, I think someone's going to emerge. Offensive line.
See, but I hate that. But this is what I hate is, well, somebody has to emerge, right? There is a mentality that I've brought up a number of times. Back when the Big Ten used to have divisions with Badger football, because the Big Ten West was just so terrible, right? Like, all the mediocre teams were there. Well, I mean, someone's got to win the division. I'm picking the Badgers, too. And then they would be bad and finish third or fourth in the division.
But
if the mentality is, well, somebody has to emerge... Who is it going to be?
I don't know, but I will say this. I thought it was extremely unfair for whatever reason, and I know coaches have their guys in the league, to fire the D-line coach because of lack of sacks and not fire the receivers coach. After the stuff I saw last year watching all 22, I'm like, where is the attention to detail?
But shouldn't that make you feel not as good about somebody breaking out? If they didn't replace the receivers,
well,
coach?
That's what I'm saying. He's got to figure, because if they're the same this year, I'm canning that guy tuna.
I feel a little bit better, but again, it's more hope than anything else that Matthew Golden is going to be as good as I think he can be.
If that is, yes.
But again, for the Packers, it's more about a hope. You know, right now, we're just kind of hoping that some of these things happen.
I think some of these players will evolve.
The Packers haven't reached a point where I know things.
Yes.
Right? I don't know a lot of things about this team.
Well, this is what you know. You know the running back's going to be outstanding.
Yes.
And you know the offensive line is going to be very good. As long as everything gets Elgton Jenkins back and Zach Tom doesn't hold up.
I was about to say, even that has its own caveats.
Yes.
That has its own caveats
right
now.
Tucker Kraft will be at least as good as he was last year.
Yeah. But he needs to be better if they want to be an actual contender.
Unless the receivers emerge. Yeah. I know. I get your trepidation.
So we went through the list earlier of, you know, the top rosters in the NFL. Like, we did that.
Yeah.
And with those rosters, like, you know things about those teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know things about the teams, to me, that are on the actual contender list.
Yes.
Like, if I'm putting a list of top five contenders in the NFL, the Packers are not on that list.
You're right. Yeah.
Because I don't know enough about them, right? Yes. Like, I know things about the Ravens. I know things about the Chiefs. I know things about the Lions. I know things about the Philadelphia Eagles.
But you agree that there's balls inside the little lottery ping pong
thing. Maybe a ball or two. Because
I think it's more
because
than that.
Again, those are teams inside the division. The Detroit Lions are going to be tough to beat. I think they're going to be tough to beat.
They are going to be tough because they know that, all right, this is the year because we're up against it because we're going to start.
Yeah.
But, all right, let me ask you, how do you feel about the Washington Commanders? Better about them than you do the Packers?
No, I think they were I think they are a good team. I think everybody fell in love with them because it's easy to go, hey, they made an NFC championship game, and you play whoever's in front of you. But they got the luck of the draw last year playing a beat-up Detroit Lions team.
Correct.
Right? Like, they got that.
And that's happens.
And look, yep, and they took advantage of it, and good on them. And you can't take the away on the resume.
Yeah.
But I look at this year's team, and I go, I don't think they're better than the Eagles. I don't think they're winning the division.
Josh, where are you at?
I just don't know enough about this team.
In terms of the Packers
pretenders? Contenders or pretenders?
I think they're contenders. I think we have to tell ourselves a little bit of a story, but I think you have to do that with a lot of teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to tell the story of every team except for who won the Super Bowl. You can make easier cases because of the more proven nature of the team, but if we continue to think their talent is ascendant and not all just either meeting the top, I think they have as good of a shot as anybody. And I think
that's not true. They don't have as good of a shot as anybody.
I disagree.
I will agree.
They have as good of a shot as the Eagles?
Sure, why not?
As good of a shot. No, again, I can tell you why not, because the Eagles have a lot better players.
Right now.
Like, you're spinning. Yeah. Again, so you're just going to have to, like, put your head in the sand and go and ignore the problems?
Well, the argument you're making is what happened last year is what's going to continue happening forever, and I don't think that's a reasonable way to address it. Sure, teams are better. Every team has better rosters. Not the best roster wins every time. Not the best roster wins an individual game. Yeah. Like, when it comes to winning Super Bowls, what you think at the start of the season doesn't mean that's what's going to play out.
These are my concerns. D-line, receiver, and cornerback. Those are my concerns.
It's pretty important positions.
They are important positions, but I expect these two linebackers to become like San Francisco, Greenlaw, and that, which will, I don't know, take away some of the D-line's crappiness.
The Packers, again, and I come back to this, I'm a broken bleeping record. They just don't have enough stars. Are enough stars going to emerge? Because it would be a lot that would have to come through the works. What I'm hoping happens this year is what I thought was going to happen last year, where more stars would emerge, and then that sets them up for, like, okay, look out, here they come. Because right now, I don't know what I'm supposed to be feeling really good about with this team. Well, again, they're solid. They've got really good players at a lot of different positions.
Yeah.
But stars are the ones that win you Super Bowls.
The thing I don't want to get caught up on is what happened last year is going to continue to happen forever. And I feel like that's a lot of where we're standing right now. And I don't know if that's the right measure.
Outside of the Chiefs, yes.
Right.
Like, at this point, I just... And luckily, the Chiefs are in the AFC. At this point, with the Chiefs, I just have to assume they're going to be in the Super Bowl every year.
Right.
Because
well, yes. Yeah. I'm saying from the Packers roster in specific. I don't believe that as many guys are going to be as disappointing as they were.
That's
young guys.
That's kind of where I'm at.
I find it hard to believe. I think some of them certainly are going to drop out, and we're going to go, well, I don't know why we ever really had hope there. But I think...
But that's how I feel about the receiver room right now.
I think some of those guys, you have a good case.
Other than Matthew Golden. Like, Matthew Golden is my last hope.
Who hasn't played a down.
Because I feel like the rest of the guys, we've kind of figured out who they are. I think the league has figured out who they are.
I think to an extent.
The coaches are telling us that he's not a star. They put him on the field 60% of the time.
No, I know.
And if he's only playing 63% of the snaps, and then they also drafted
more
receivers.
Gabe, and I'll tell you, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but going into the 95 season.
But guess what, Josh?
Fair. Going into the 95 season, I was probably ranked the 47th best tight end in the league.
Sure.
And at the end of the year, I was 3.
And look, I think that can happen for somebody on this team. But the problem is, we need it to happen for a lot of positions on this team. So I think it can happen for one guy.
Was that as bad as you thought it was going to be or no?
No. I think there's a mirror. It's Tucker Kraft, the way he's looked at it in the league.
Yeah.
And you see what's happening with him. We got a break.
Okay.
I listen to Joshy. We'll take a break. here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's a lot of sodas now that are prebiotic sodas.
They
as
don't
well.
Work. They're called poop.
No,
they're really called poop, I think. You buy them on Amazon.
I thought you were going to stop talking.
You got a lot of brust in you. You know that?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
One poll that we put up, the Infinity Exterior Jen, Gabe, and Chewy poll for the day over on Twitter. Do you want the Brewers to be buyers at the deadline? 87% of people saying yes. So it seems like the majority of people want them to be buyers. And it's a vocal minority that's saying, hey, keep this chemistry together. And again, I think you have to trust the front office that they are not going to overspend.
Also, trust Pat Murphy, manager of the year.
Again, we'll
figure it out.
He had some great quotes over the weekend, too. Talking about dodgeball, too. You loved him. Will they toast? Yeah, we can talk about that later. Will they toast? They're coming up next.